Well, good morning, everyone. I'm so happy to see you. Last week, I forgot to put the microphone on. So I hope you can hear me a little better this week. Okay, good. So it's so lovely to see you, and we're continuing to talk about angels. Before that, I just want to commend to you a few of the happenings in the life of the church. You heard about them in the announcements today. Tonight at 7 o'clock is the Christmas concert. I want you to know that yesterday in the morning hours, I was here at the church walking around. The choir sounds absolutely magnificent. They are singing Handel's Messiah, pieces, selections.
Part one.
And it is absolutely breathtaking. I mean, it's just magnificent. And there is an orchestra that is accompanying them, and that is beautiful. Also, there will be the bell choir. There will be the children's choirs. It is a beautiful concert. It will be in our sanctuary. So I commend that to you this evening at 7 o'clock. And then there are many other opportunities. I didn't say this morning. I should have. You have a gift from the tree. They're due today. But there are just so many wonderful offerings in the life of the church today and in the coming weeks. Another offering that I do want to mention is that Thursday at 10 o'clock here in the chapel, we are reviewing the scriptures that are preached, that you hear, that you hear read on Sunday morning. And what we do is we look at the scriptures and then we give you an opportunity to meditate on them. And it is really a deepening experience. And so if you are interested in this, I invite you to come. And we just meet right here. And it's something that is a spiritual exercise that we go through. And I can tell you that the people that came last Thursday found it, you know, very enlightening. So if you're free and if you'd like to try that, it's okay to do that. So I invite you all to come to that as well. Does this microphone sound okay?
Yep.
Okay, I thought I saw some people grimacing a little, and I wanted to make sure. All right, so that is good. So we are going to continue with our discussion on angels, but why don't we begin our time offering this up to God in prayer? So let us pray. Holy One, we come to you and seek to draw nearer to you, knowing that you are always inviting us, seeking up to be closer to us, desiring, Lord, that we would slow down, and Lord, that we would be still enough to listen to the word that you have for us. And so, Lord, may this time be a time for us when truly we hear with our hearts and hear with our minds the word that you intend for us. And this we pray in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay. So last week we came together and we started our discussion of angels. And we looked at angels from a biblical perspective beginning in the Old Testament. And we talked about the fact that angels are found all throughout the Old Testament, and that angels are messengers from God, and yet they are not all the same. And they are not found as the angels that we see in the Hallmark stores. Now, I like the angels in the Hallmark stores, and as I put my tree up this time of year, I have angels, right? And people have given me angels, and I have all different kinds. As a matter of fact, for my daughters, one of their grandmothers, I won't say which one, has given them an angel every year. So they haven't taken them yet, so I have them. So I hang a lot of angels on my tree. And the other one is Santa Claus's. So I hang a lot of Santa Claus's and a lot of angels on my tree. But angels are messengers, and because they are messengers, they are often conveyed, we know, with wings. There are two times in the scriptures where angels as messengers are given the description of having wings. One is in Isaiah, one is in Revelation. And we will look into that a little bit more next week when we look at some of the art and how they are conveyed. But they're not really conveyed with the two big wings that we see. But artists have used that for years because you have to somehow explain how do these heavenly creatures appear before us. And all through the scriptures, and I would say all through history, people have had encounters with heavenly beings. And oftentimes people will say, you know, you're going to think I'm crazy, but, and then they go on. Just a few other items that we covered last week were that angels are part of the created order, right? So there's God who created everything. Angels were part of the created order. They have special functions, responsibilities, ministries, and they are different than humans, and they are sent by God for certain functions that God would like. Sometimes we see that they are warriors, sometimes they have caring responsibilities, sometimes they have certain messages, and we're going to really look at that today. But for means of introduction today, we're going to slide into the New Testament. And I think this is fun today because, of course, we're preparing for Christmas, right? Angels make big appearances now for Christmas, and we're going to see why that is. But let's just think for a moment back in the days when the New Testament is being created. Okay? Back in the days when the New Testament's being written down and they are realizing what has taken place with Jesus in their midst. So, Jesus has come. Jesus has died. Jesus has risen. And Jesus is seen all over the place after Jesus has risen. Right? Everybody's with me. Okay, good. And then Jesus ascends to heaven. Jesus ascends to heaven. And a few years ago, we went to the Holy Lands. And first morning, first thing that we saw, they took us, Sandy was there. I was looking around. They took us to the place where Jesus ascended, this little hillside. Took us to the place of ascension. We were like, whoa, okay. So we go, and they said, this is where Jesus went up. And of course, what do? Right? I mean, that's the first thing we all do. We look up. Jesus ascends to heaven. And so, and there's the promise that Jesus will come again. So, the disciples are there, and the disciples say, all right, and they gather together and they begin to ponder, pray, say, how do we understand all of these events that have come to pass? And with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, they begin to understand, they begin to write the gospel message, and they begin to see with clarity the role of Jesus, what has happened, the fulfillment of the prophecies, and they begin to understand going forward what their role is going to be. And they begin to see with Jesus in particular that Jesus is certainly not a human being, that Jesus truly is the Messiah. He is the anointed one who has come to fulfill all that was prophesied in the Old Testament. Part of that role is that he is going to be an angelic mediator. That he is going to have some of the aspects of the angels. He's going to be an angelic mediator. He is not an angel. He's a human, right? But he's going to have some aspects of this. Now, one of the key aspects that they discover is this. Jewish belief was that you could not look at God and live. You could not gaze at God and live. If you looked at God, you were struck down. You were dead. Because God is so holy. God in God's glory was just so magnificent and so beyond anything that we could comprehend that if you looked directly at God, you were done. So they began to realize, though, that in Jesus Christ, God came to us in a form, in humility, in a way that we could gaze at God, see God, know God, walk with God, right? In the sense of Jesus, be friends with God. And we were able to be with God, and yet Jesus had the aspects of the angels that there was a message that was being conveyed, a divine message. They began to see this. But unlike the angels, Christ can identify with the trials of humans. So Christ has all of these aspects, truly God and truly human. And they begin to put this together. They begin to see this. And this will be an important aspect as they begin to understand the Christology moving forward. How do we understand the true sense of Christ and the glory of God being in the person of Jesus along with the humanity? And we're going to come back to this later, but the important thing to know is that humans cannot look at the glory of God, but they can look at the glory of Jesus. Humans can look at the angels as divine messengers. So God understands. God has a message to send. God sends the messengers to us so that we can receive the message, but in a way that we can receive it, but that we are not, if you will, struck down. So these are some loose concepts that we want to have as a foundation for our beginning for discussion about angels today. So last week we talked about angels and some of the sightings and everything. So I thought I'd do something bold today. I thought we would do a little quiz. Don't worry. I thought we'd just kind of work together on this, right? And these aren't going to be graded. These aren't going to be collected. We're just going to kind of talk about these in little groups. So you can kind of move around or cluster together. And I thought it would be a more fun way to talk about it than just to have me sit up here and go through it. So these are some places where angels are seen, and they're going to step us into the New Testament. So you're invited to work together. You can get up and move around and move around together. And don't worry if you're thinking, I have no idea about these. And then we're going to talk about them. Let's see. I'm going to ask you if you could maybe kind of share, because you two are going to share. Here, Dean, can I give you one? Does everybody have access to one? Okay. So take a few minutes, go through, and give it your best shot.
Thank you.
Are you all working together? That's fine.
Because I do want to know the answers.
Oh, we're going to do that.
We got someone who's
looking at the record. This is good. That's fine. See, isn't this much more interesting than just having me?
Gabriel. That we have worked hard and we're about ready to come together. And thank you for your willingness to go through this. And we're going to go through the answers and then we're going to get into some of these a little bit more. So
some of these are from the old, transitioning us into the new, too. So the birth of which judge was announced by an angel of the Lord? So the judges were a time in the history of Israel, and one of the judges were the leaders. They weren't kings. They were kind of military leaders. Do you want to venture a guess? Just want me to tell you. It was Samson. You might remember a story. Samson and Delilah was a story in the scriptures. So Samson was blessed early on. And Samson had a great trait that was given to him. As long as he never had his hair cut, he was blessed with, does anybody remember? Strength. Right? He was blessed with great strength as long as he never had his hair cut. That went along fine until things got complicated with a woman, right? And so he disobeyed God. And so, but it was, but from the very beginning of his conception, an angel came and said he would be blessed. So, okay. Then last week we talked about the fact that angels, this is just through the Old Testament, there are prophecies in which angels are very well, part of. And so which angel appeared in Daniel's vision? Daniel's a book in the Old Testament, has all these prophecies. Which angel do we think might have appeared there? Some of you I know looked this up. Gabriel. Yeah. Now, I will say this though. Michael also appears in some of Daniel's visions. So bonus points for that. You know? Bonus points for that. Yeah. And then we scoot along. Now we're in the New Testament. And we're going to talk about Zechariah. And so Zechariah, and today it was talked about in worship, he's the father of John the Baptist. We're going to talk about what was happening with him. He has an encounter with an angel. And because he did not believe, right? The angel said, well, Zechariah, what happened? He was mute. He became mute. He could not speak from the time he had the encounter with the angel till after the child was born. And when the child was born, they said, what are you going to name the baby? And in those days, typically the child would have been named for the father. So they thought, this will be Zacharias Jr. And he asked for a little, something to write on. And he wrote John, because that's what the angel will tell him. And when he did that, from that point on, he could speak. So it's quite a witness to to the encounter with the angel. And we're going to talk more about that. Another person who witnessed an angel was Mary. And which angel came to Mary? Do we have any guesses? Gabriel. The angel Gabriel came to Mary. And last week we said there are only three angels that have identified by names. And Michael was one. And Gabriel was one. And can anybody remember the third one? John Hayes knows? The third angel? Yeah. All right. Did you hear? How do you say it? Because we say it a little different. Raphael is the third one. Okay. But there's only three angels identified by name. Having a name in the scriptures is significant. So having these three angels come elevates the importance with their appearance. Another encounter in the New Testament. There was a time with the disciples who are now apostles. They are out preaching the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. They get thrown into prison. They are in a bad situation. And there is an earthquake that comes. And while they are there, there is an angel that appears. Do we have any thoughts as to who that might be that was in that prison? It's Peter. Yes, Peter was there. Right? Peter. And that's the same Peter. You know, I reflected on that last night. You know, it's the same Peter who denies Jesus. That's the same Peter who's like, let me go walk on the water with you, and he starts to sink. It's the same Peter all the way through. I love Peter. Then, and I have to say, number six, I had no idea on number six. So if you got number six, really impressive. Abraham, father of the Old Testament, father of the patriarchs, important figure. Three angels come to Abraham. And there is a very famous painting that have the three angels that come to him, somewhat as visitors. And where does this happen?
The Oaks of Mamre. That's
right. Mamre. M-A-M-R-E. I guessed all three of the other answers first before I got to that one. That's very impressive. So it's Mamre. Right. Now, last week we did talk about this one. I'm just saying, you know, but it's okay. The cherubim with a flaming sword were guarding the way to what? The Garden of Eden, the Ark of the Covenant, the Tree of Life, or the New Jerusalem? Do we know? It's the Tree of Life. It's the Tree of Life. Yeah. Tree of Life? It's in Genesis. This is after they got kicked out of the garden because of sin. Because of sin, that was part of the punishment for sinning. They were God loved them, but God said you have to pay for your sins. Okay. So then, who announces the birth of the Messiah? Who announces? Was it the angel Michael, the heavenly host, Raphael? Or you can see they have the angels in brilliant clothes. The heavenly host, right? Sky comes with the heavenly host. So you can see that angels are part of our landscape. And we're going to look at a few of these accounts a little bit more today. Thank you for being good sports about that. And you can just, you know, shred your papers. I'm not grading anything. And this is just to have a little bit of fun with. This is an unfamiliar script. Oh, no. Oh, you know, I don't. I'm sorry. Bill was helping me last night. He said, I'll make this really easy for you. So he did it a different way for me. So let me just take a minute and let this come up. And this will be here in just a minute. Here we go. All right. So one thing about the angels, as we said at the beginning, angels have different functions than we do as humans. And one thing, they are sent with messages from God. They can make announcements. But one thing that the angels do not do They don't evangelize for God. They don't evangelize. To evangelize for God is the function for humans. That is our gift. That is our responsibility, to share the good news of Christ, to be able to tell others, to be able to witness to others, to be able to build churches, to be able to pray. That is the task, the mission, the ministry of humans. But of course, angels can come and announce, angels can come alongside. This is a very important role for them. So, oh, Ted, you may need to help me with this. I just need to, you know, make it full screen, and then I'll be good.
You got it.
No, I don't. I made it worse.
No, it's full screen there.
Okay.
You get the preview here.
Okay, good, okay.
That's the next slide, so you just, it's like...
Perfect. Okay, good. So, we talked for a bit about some of the places where we see the angels appear in the New Testament, and they come because, as it was preached on today, after 300 years, and it's 300, 400 years, there have been, it has been quiet from the prophets. There has been no new revelation from God, and the people of Israel have been waiting. They have waited. It's hard to imagine waiting for 300 or 400 years. I mean, what was happening in our world 300 years ago or 400 years ago? I mean, such a long time, right? It's hard for us. Our current history isn't even registering. They have been waiting. And who are they waiting for? They're waiting for the Messiah to come. They believe the Messiah is going to come. It's going to help them. It's going to save them. Meanwhile, they have kept the rituals going. They have kept the law before them. This is what's important to them. This is Zechariah. I love this picture of Zechariah. Part of Zechariah's role as a Jewish man is that he will go to the temple, and he will have responsibilities as a Jewish man to go and to go into the holiest part of the temple. And of course, and I don't mean this in any derogatory sense, this is only done by men, they will go into the Holy of Holies, and they will do certain prayers, and they will offer certain sacrifices, and they will offer up, in accordance with the Jewish teachings, certain readings to God, and they will do this on a regular cycle. And everyone shares this in the community. So Zechariah goes in during his time, and who does he encounter? We just took the quiz. Who does he encounter? An angel. An angel just came. An angel comes up, and the angel comes to him. And so I'm going to read to you what this is like. And you may have heard this before, but I want you to listen this time as to what his encounter is like with the angel. Okay? We kind of listen for different things, but this time. So imagine, it's hard for us to imagine, but imagine you're called this time to maybe be liturgist up front in church. I mean, this is just an ordinary task, right? Or maybe you're singing in the choir. Or maybe you have a certain function here at church. You're just doing something ordinary. And you go to do this, and you encounter an angel in the midst of your community, in your congregation. So once when he, Zechariah, was serving as priest before God, and his section was on duty, so it would be like your group was on duty. Y'all with me? Okay. He was chosen by lot, and according to the custom of priesthood, he entered the sanctuary of the Lord and offered incense. Okay. So that's a good representation up there, right? Now, at the time of this incense offering, the whole assembly of the people were praying outside. They would have been gathered for prayers on Saturday. They would have come for worship. Now, there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Right up there where the piano is, there's an angel appearing right there. And Zechariah saw him. What do you think his feelings were? What do you guess his feelings would be? If you were in there, there's incense burning, and you saw an angel, how do you think you would feel? How do you think he felt?
I think there would be a sense of calm, because typically the angels always preface by saying, do not be afraid.
Okay, a sense of calm, do not be afraid. Any other guesses? Be afraid, okay?
Sense of awe.
Sense of awe? Okay, right. And I think Zechariah saw him, and he was terrified. And fear overwhelmed him, but the angel said, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you will name him, do we know what his name's going to be? John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is also similar to Samson. Samson is going to have directions like that in his life. So this prophecy from the Old Testament is kind of coming true with John in the New. Like there's some, because we know that John is still the prophet in the tradition of the Old, but he's coming in the New. And isn't the angel giving a lot of words here? I mean, he's like giving a whole chapter. He's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. Oh, I already said that. With the spirit and the power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So again, he's the forerunner. He's not the Messiah. He's the forerunner. He got it right from the beginning. Zechariah says to the angel, how will I know that this is so? For I am an old man and my wife is getting on in years. Thanks, Zechariah. And the angel replied, I am Gabriel. That's a lot of authority right there. Because again, in Daniel, Gabriel's identified by name. When an angel with name shows up, there's a lot of authority in that. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. Okay. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute and unable to speak until the day these things occur. So, what do you think of this angel, Gabriel? What words would you say to describe him? Give me just a few.
Powerful.
Messenger, certainly, right? And I am Gabriel, and sent from God, right? I stand in the presence of God, sent with this message. So we see this. So what's going to happen now? Zechariah comes out of the Holy of Holies, ordinary day. You know, he's just in there doing his thing that he does as a priest. They all take turns. They've done this their whole lifetime. And we know he's, as he said, an old man. So he's done this for decades. He comes out. He can't speak. And they say, oh, he saw an angel. Right? So he can write it down. So they get the idea. Now, the next one is the angel comes to Mary. And we have heard of this. Do we know anything about the angel coming to Mary? Do we know anything about this? Gabriel comes. It's Gabriel shows up again. Gabriel's busy, right? Gabriel comes. Where is Mary? Do we know where she is? Like, what town is she in? She's not in Bethlehem. They're going to travel to Bethlehem, right? So where is she? Nazareth, right? And when we were over there in Nazareth, it was interesting to me because I picture her. I know, I'm sorry, this isn't a very good picture, but I'm going to bring a, not the original, but I'll bring a picture of this next week. I always thought she's in her house, like doing things you do in your house, cooking or sweeping or whatever they did, right? But when we were in Nazareth, they said, no, 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 she was at the well. And they took us to the well, and the well still has a spring there. And they said, this is where the angel appeared, at the well. That was interesting to me. But in the Old Testament, like where Abraham ran into his visitors, was out under the oaks. It's outside a lot in the natural surroundings. It happens a lot. So Gabriel shows up in Nazareth, totally unexpected, out of the blues. 400 years they have waited for a sign. Do they think that the Messiah is going to be born like this? No way. They think that the Messiah is going to come like a military leader. They think that the Messiah is going to be raised up as a religious leader. They kind of watch their religious leaders and they think, that person who's really outspoken, who really carries a lot of authority, that's going to be the Messiah. This process of having a child, especially a child that is conceived by the Holy Spirit, is just totally not what anyone is expecting whatsoever. And the message, again, is shared by Gabriel. And Bob, you want to come up? I asked Bob to share a little bit of this, just so you hear a different voice. You want to share part of that?
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But the angel said, but she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing is impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
Okay. Thank you. What do you notice about this angel? Anything special that you hear in this message you didn't hear in the other one? This make us an announcement. Another baby is going to be coming. Another announcement about it. I am Gabriel, right? Doesn't really say, I am Gabriel, but we find out it's Gabriel. But there's a little, yeah?
Well, one thing, she asks a similar question. It doesn't get busted for
it. How can this be, right? How can this be? It's stunning, right? Also, yeah, no heavy drinking, no requirements, right? You're just going to have the baby, right? When the angel shows up, says, do not be afraid, because I guess seeing an angel must be really overwhelming, right? Like, whoa, do not be afraid. So it's an unusual encounter at the least. It's terrifying a bit, but brings the prophecy too, brings all of this explanation. This baby is going to rule over the house of Jacob. This is the Messiah. This is the first words that we have. You and your people have waited 400 years. And now you, regular person, peasant girl, no one extraordinary whatsoever, no connections, no anything, you're given the word. And we'll look at that a little bit more. The angel comes with this divine word from God. I know we have to move along a little bit. Okay, Joseph. Joseph gets a word too. Joseph also gets to encounter an angel because Joseph finds this whole thing extraordinary, hard to believe at best, right? You've got to be kidding me. You're going to have a baby and you're a virgin and you saw an angel. Right, right? So we know that that's a little hard for anyone to swallow, no matter how angelic and divine the whole thing is set now. But, and I love this because it says, Mary's husband Joseph, being a righteous man and didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But in a dream, the angel appears and says, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for what she conceived is from the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Right at the beginning, not only is this is what's going to happen, that there's going to be a baby, but the mission, the task, is explained from the angel. God's purpose in bringing Jesus is laid out. The message is given from the very beginning. And so Mary and Joseph, not only do they know we're going to have this baby and da-da-da, but they know he is going to save their save the people from their sins from the very beginning. This is the message given from the angels. So the angels can carry the message, but the angels cannot change people's hearts. You know, they cannot be evangelists. They can only share the message. They can be dramatic about it. They can appear in incense right beside the altar, which I think would be like, whoa, okay, I'll believe anything you say. However, that is their particular assignment. So they go along, they have the baby, and then we have this. I don't know what you think this would look like, but we hear this over and over every Christmas Eve. You know, and in that region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Let us just think how dark that is. There's no lights anywhere. They're just out there in this field. We're in Bethlehem. They go, this is shepherd's field. Okay. Tradition holds. This is shepherd's field. Now, it's been a while since this occurred, but we believe this is shepherd's field. And in my mind, that looked exactly the way I have always thought since I was a child that it looked like. It looked like over to the left to me, that the shepherds were there. And then there's a light that appears like a beam. I don't know. Is this what, if your mind, if you've ever allowed yourself to go there, is this what it kind of would look like to you? Have you ever thought about it like that? Yeah?
Up a little bit, the custom would have been Mary would have been stoned.
Yes. Mary definitely would have been.
And Joseph knew that.
She would, because it would have been adultery, right? Because she was promised to Joseph.
Yeah.
Right. Public disgrace.
And so he knew that and he had to ponder.
Yes, that's right. He wanted to protect her. He was conflicted, right? That's right.
That was a horrible.
Horrible, horrible for them. You're right. Right. And that's the circumstance in which Jesus is born into. Right? He could have been born into all kinds of families. And that was the word Jesus, God selected, right? Tells us a lot about the beauty of the ministry of Jesus. So, the picture to the right is on a mural in a chapel in Bethlehem, right there at Shepherd's Field. They painted a mural. That's the mural. You can see it got cut off a little bit, but you can kind of make out the angel. So in Bethlehem, that's the mural that they have right there. So you can see the shepherds, and you can see the rays of light coming down, divine light, and that's their rendition. You go into this beautiful chapel, and they have pictures of the story. It'd be like in here, all around. And that's the one they have. And not only do they have one, an angel of the Lord appeared before them, and then the glory of the Lord shone around them. I don't know what the glory of the Lord looks like, but I think it's pretty impressive. Because remember at the very beginning I said, no one can look at God because God's glory is so overwhelming that people are struck dead. You cannot behold God and live. Now the glory of the Lord shines around them and they are not struck dead. This is very significant that God has come into the world in a way that humanity can receive this glory. And it is brought by the angels. And they are terrified. And of course the angel says, do not be afraid, for I'm bringing you good news of great joy. And then he announces the birth of the Jesus. And when he says, born in the city of David, a Messiah who is the Lord, this is the first announcement. They've waited 300-400 years, and the baby is in Bethlehem, right? Now, one of the great shocks, I have to say, of my whole life, I don't know if you felt this way, Sandy, they said, okay, we're at Shepherd's Field, we're standing there, we're looking out at the shield, and they say, and if you turn around, there's the church where the baby was born, and you can just walk over there, it'll take 15 minutes. I'm like, that's not how it's supposed to be. I'm thinking, it's supposed to be like a 4-hour journey that the shepherds took. You know, in your mind, you get these ideas of how it's supposed to be. I'm like, no, that's not. Of course, I'm in Bethlehem, so they have the upper hand, right? That's how it is, Louise. You can make any fantasy up in your mind, but this is how it is. You're looking at the field. There's the church behind you. So it's relatively close, and they have this Church of the Nativity that is there. But the angels are not only there, one angel, but this whole heavenly host, and the glory of God comes to announce that Jesus has come in the birth. This isn't just any baby. This is the baby. This is God incarnate. And the angels come to announce this birth. So we know these stories and we hear these stories, but the presence of the angels coming brings to them great depth and great importance in these scriptures. So we have the angels at the birth. I like the one on the right because it's really modern. And then not only do we have these times that the angels appear, but in the New Testament, again, as far as being present at times of evangelizing, the angels don't evangelize to change people's hearts. They carry a message. They are present in the birth narratives with the shepherds. Then the angels are going to speak fast forward to Philip, one of the apostles, and he is going to go and he is going to share the good news of Jesus and he is going to share it with the Ethiopian eunuch of all people. And he is sitting there reading Isaiah and cannot understand those words. And the Spirit is going to come. He is going to understand these words now. And the message of Jesus being the Messiah is carried to a whole new part of the world. The angel's involved with that. An angel is going to come to Cornelius, and he's going to get baptized. And his angels are going to be present with Paul as well. This is what we find. We know that angels appeared to Jesus We know that angels come when he is tempted in the wilderness, at the very beginning of his ministry. They are going to come and try to get him, the fallen angel, to believe the lies. They are going to come and subtly say, if you are the king of God, if you are, then change this bread, or change these rocks into bread. If you are, throw yourself off the highest point of the temple and allow the angels to catch you. If you are, and how does Jesus thwart Satan? How does he stand up to the fallen angel? Any guesses? He does contradict him each time, and he uses kind of a weapon. Do we know what the weapon is? He uses scripture in each case. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, right? He comes back each time with words of scripture to combat Satan each time, because Jesus is ultimately stronger and victorious over Satan. And so he comes back each time. Angels also are present with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. And he is sweating so that it is like drops of blood in his ultimate anguish. The angels come and tend to him. And the word means that they give him strength inwardly at that time. And then we know, of course, the angels are at the resurrection. We see the men clothed in brilliant white, the glory of the Lord, in a way that we can see it, that they come and they announce, he is not here. He is risen. And the angels come to announce this, as well as the ascension of Jesus. So we see that throughout the whole scope of the New Testament, that the angels are present. They carry an important word, not only for the individuals who receive the message, but as a witness that God is with the people, that God is sharing the divine message with them, and that they are receiving the actual word from God. In some cases, they will report seeing an actual person like Gabriel, but in other times, they receive really the word, the message from God, more in the spiritual sense. So, this is how far we're going to go today. Does anybody have any questions? Yeah.
This is kind of technical. I mean, I'm not trying to put as well. Clear back to when you were talking about the man and who saw the angel in the temple. And
Zechariah.
Zechariah, thank you. In the holiest of holes and so forth. Is that what was, when the curtain was torn, when Jesus died, is that where he was? Because I thought the priests were allowed back there. Was he a priest?
Yeah, that's what, at the beginning, what they did back then, they took turns. At the beginning, they would take turns doing priestly functions.
Okay.
They did, because it was the tribe of Aaron, how it came down. So if you were of the tribe of Aaron, and he was of that tribe, and then they would take turns, and it said he drew lots, so it was his day to go in there, but it would be, he was of that, those functions. And you're right, he was behind that curtain, and that's where he saw the angel. You're right. Good question.
There's a tradition, I think, out in the biblical, that they used to tie a rope.
In case you were struck down?
Yeah.
They could drag you out of there?
Yeah. Else
maybe after Zechariah saw the angel, maybe they started doing that, right? Right. Okay.
I'm sorry. And I've talked to you about this before. I was also on the trip to Israel, and for me, one of the most important moments for me there was something that I had never really thought about, and that was when we walked up the hill and saw the sculpture of Elizabeth and Mary meeting. And I just stood at that sculpture. It was, I can't even explain what happened while I was there. But it was magnificent and it was powerful. And that's a part of the story that,
yeah.
I mean, I remembered it kind of, but it wasn't something that was really in the forefront of you know, me thinking about it. Wow, were you able to go up there and
yeah.
People went?
Yeah, I went up there in that beautiful church. And imagine how affirming that was. You mean you saw an angel too? I saw an angel. You saw an angel? You know, and they both were able to have that confirmation. This is really happening. Whoa. And it was beautiful. It was beautifully done. So I know we've all talked about angels in the scriptures from the beginning. Next week, we're going to look at angels from different perspectives, and we're going to get into a little bit more of bringing angels closer to us, and we're going to talk a little bit more about personal accounts of angels, the church and angels, and angels and art. So thank you very much for coming.